Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making one of the most underrated tension moves in drum and bass, the stretched rewind moment. This is that classic crowd grab effect, where the track feels like it's pulling itself backward for a second, then snapping back into the drop with even more force. In jungle and old school roller D&B, that rewind isn't just a gimmick, it's part of the groove. It resets the room, but it still keeps the dancer floor moving. The main thing to remember is this: treat the rewind like a rhythmic pickup, not a full stop. If the energy completely dies, the drop has to work too hard to rebuild momentum. What we want instead is a controlled pullback, something musical, something a little gritty, and something that lands right on the phrase boundary. We'll build this in Ableton Live 12 using stock tools only, and we're going to keep it very usable for a 174 BPM jungle or roller arrangement. First, find the source material. Pick the end of an 8-bar, 16-bar, or 32-bar phrase, and choose something with identity. A 1-bar break is perfect. A bass stab with a tail can work too. Even better is a combined drum and bass hit from the end of the section, because that gives the rewind an anchor point the ear can grab onto. Duplicate that last bar to a new audio track and call it Rewind Source. If you're working with MIDI, freeze and flatten it or resample it first. Rewinds feel more believable when you're shaping printed audio rather than raw MIDI notes. You want something physical, something that already has personality. Now double-click the audio clip and turn warp on. If the source is a mixed drum and bass phrase, use Complex Pro. If it's mostly drums, beats can keep the punch sharper. For this style, you usually want the clip set to 1 bar or 2 bars depending on how much breathing room you want. Here's the important part. Move the warp marker so the final transient, usually a snare or kick, becomes the visual and rhythmic anchor. If needed, pull the clip start slightly earlier so there's a little pre-roll. That helps create the feeling that the rewind is being dragged into place instead of just abruptly edited. If the break starts to smear too much, especially in beats mode, try using transient preservation or a more punch-focused warp setting. The goal is to keep the motion tight enough for the grid, but loose enough to feel like a DJ-style rewind. Next, we reverse the selected phrase. Duplicate the warped clip and reverse the duplicate. Don't reverse the entire section, just the slice you want for the rewind moment. Full reversals usually get messy in bass-heavy D&B and they can flatten the groove. Shape the reverse so it feels like energy is being sucked backward. A good move is to keep the first half of the rewind a little louder, then let the end taper off gently. Add tiny fade so you don't get clicks, and if needed, crossfade into the next section by just a few milliseconds to a tenth of a second. That keeps the transition clean and intentional. A nice extra trick is to automate the clip gain or track volume down by about 2 to 5 dB across the rewind, then bring it back up right before the drop. That creates the illusion of the room being pulled inward, then released. It's subtle, but indeed NB subtle movement can hit harder than a giant obvious effect. Now let's add some tape-style character. On the rewind channel, build a simple effects chain with auto filter, saturator, and maybe redux or erosion if you want a little more dirt. If you want the rewind to feel unstable and tape-like, frequency shifter can work too, but keep it very subtle. Start with auto filter in low-pass mode. Tweep the cutoff down from somewhere around 12 to 14 kHz toward 1 to 2 kHz as the rewind happens. This darkens the sound as it pulls back, which gives you that old sample deck feel. Then add saturator with a modest drive amount, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and turn on soft clip if needed. This makes the rewind feel more physical and less digital. If you use redux or erosion, keep it light. You want texture, not total destruction. Too much degradation and the transition starts sounding like a gimmick instead of a groove device. For a slightly more unstable vibe, you can automate a tiny downward motion in frequency shifter, but keep it low in the mix. The point is pressure, not a sci-fi sweep. Now we need the rewind to feel like a real D&B gesture, not just reversed audio. So layer in a few supporting sounds. Add a reverse snare or a clap. Add a ghosted break slice. Add a short noise burst or vinyl stop texture. If you want, tuck in a bass tail or sub note that trails into the reversal, but be careful with the low end. This part matters. If you include sub, high pass it around 30 to 40 Hz during the transition. You do not want low end fog bleeding into the drop. The listener should feel the memory of the bass, not a muddy smear. A very effective old school style setup is this. Place one reverse snare half a beat before the drop, then a reversed break slice on the final beat, and let the bass tail rise slightly and vanish. That gives you a clear anchor, a clear motion, and a clear release. If you want a more human, less template-like result, try a broken rewind. Reverse only selected hits and leave one kick or snare moving forward. That asymmetry often sounds more live, especially in jungle. Now let's bring in groove. Open the groove pool and apply a subtle swing that matches the original drum feel. Start around 54 to 57% groove amount if you want a loose jungle edge. If the break is already chopped tightly, an MPC-style groove can help it breathe. Apply groove mostly to the reverse percussion ghosts, the pre-drop snare pickups, and the short FX hits. Don't over-groove the actual kick and bass return if you want the drop to stay locked. The rewind can be a little looser, but the landing needs to stay disciplined. This is one of the key secrets here. The groove keeps implying motion even while the audio is moving backward. That's what makes it feel like roller momentum instead of a hard stop. Now automate the transition like a DJ would shape a rewind. Think in layers. Automate filter cutoff, reverb send or wet amount, and output volume or send level at the same time. A strong shape is this. Two beats before the rewind, begin filtering the main bus. One beat before, increase the reverb send briefly. On the final half beat, dip the volume slightly, then snap it back to full on the drop. If you're using a return track for the rewind effect, keep the reverb fairly short, around 0.6 to 1.4 seconds, and filter the return so the tail doesn't clutter the mix. A wet amount around 20 to 35% is usually enough. We want atmosphere, not wash. For a more dramatic reset, you can momentarily pull the bass bus down by 4 to 8 dB in the last beat, while the kick and snare stay more present. Then bring the full sub back on the drop. That contrast is huge in rollers, because the low-end re-entry feels like a physical event. If you want to make it even more effective, try a tiny pre-rewind silence gap. Even a few milliseconds can increase the sense of pullback. In DNB, those small details make a big difference. A good way to think about the arrangement is this. The rewind should happen right at the end of a phrase, not in the middle of one. The listener already expects change there, so the gesture feels musical instead of random. Once the rewind feels right, resample it. Route the rewind bus to a new audio track, set it to resampling or input from the bus, and record the moment. Then consolidate the recorded audio, trim any silence, and add tiny fades if needed to clean up clicks. This is a big step, because it turns a bunch of moving parts into one solid arrangement object. In DNB, that's incredibly useful. If you can print it, you can move it around faster, refine it more easily, and test it against the rest of the track with less CPU and less distraction. Now audition the printed rewind in context. Ask yourself, does it feel like the track, not just an effect? Does the first bar after the rewind hit with enough contrast? Is the low end clean enough for a DJ-friendly mixdown? If the rewind feels weak, try moving the last transient earlier instead of making the whole effect longer. That often creates more tension without clutter. Also, compare the rewind against a drum-only section. If it still feels musical without the bass, it will probably work even better in the full mix. A few pro tips before we wrap up. If you want a dirtier old-school flavor, add a little overdrive to the drum bus before the rewind, then pull it back with automation. A couple dB of saturation can make the rewind feel much more physical. Drum bus can also help. Use drive lightly, keep crunch subtle, and leave boom mostly off if the low end is already busy. For darker, heavier vibe, use filtered ambience instead of bright impacts. Think murky room tone, low-passed vinyl noise, or chopped break hiss tucked quietly under the reverse motion. And one more thing, after the rewind, don't overcrowd the first bar of the drop. Let it breathe. A simple drum pattern before the full bass line returns can make the whole section feel much bigger. So, to recap, choose a strong anchor sound, warp it tight, reverse it carefully, darken it with filter movement, add a little grit, support it with a snare or break ghost, and keep the groove alive through the transition. That's how you get a rewind that feels old school, controlled, and full of momentum. Your homework is to build three versions in the same project. Make one clean roller rewind, one dirtier jungle rewind, and one heavier pressure rewind. Keep each one under two bars, use a different anchor sound for each, and return all three into the same drop, so you can compare impact fairly. The big question is simple, which version creates the most momentum? Because that's the real goal here. Not just stopping the track, not just making a flashy effect. We are creating a rewind that pulls the room backward, then launches it forward even harder. Let's build it, print it, and make that drop feel inevitable.